Gilgamesh's rejection is at first polite, even tactful, but it soon changes into a series of metaphorical insults, all of which accuse Ishtar of damaging the very person whom she should have been caring for. Next, he cites 6 famous love affairs of Ishtar's, with Tammuz, then with the roller bird, the lion, the stallion, the shepherd, and the gardener Ishulanu. Her taste in lovers is species transcendent, omnisexual. All of them black widow affairs in which she turned against her lover and harmed him. Gilgamesh concludes by saying that if he were to accept her offer, she would treat him as cruelly as she treated them. It is a remarkably vivid speech, the longest in the poem, except for Utnapishtim's account of the flood. Reading it, we are caught up in the pure energy of the insults. It is like a tribal dance in which lines of young men and young women advance in turn and fling ritual taunts at each other. The speech's climax, the catalogue of lovers, is a miniature metamorphosis that casts Ishtar as Circe and moves from disaster to disaster, not only with the satisfaction of a lawyer proving his case, but also with the delight of a storyteller. Aside from the affair with Tammuz, we are ignorant of the myths the poet is referring to. They haven't survived in Sumerian or Akkadian literature. For modern readers, this gives the passage a certain piquancy, as if we were overhearing intimate stories about people we don't know. Is Gilgamesh's response inappropriate? Is it a frightened male reaction to a woman who takes the sexual initiative? Perhaps, though that would be odd in a poem that celebrates a character like Shamhat. But from the above-mentioned Descent of Inanna, we can be sure that in at least one of his 6 examples, Gilgamesh is giving us accurate information. Sleeping with Ishtar can be dangerous to your health, and when we witness her violent response to his rejection, we tend to think that he has been entirely reasonable in just saying no. The next scene is a portrait of Ishtar as a murderous, spoiled brat. She explodes with tears of rage and frustration, goes to Anu, father of the gods, and throws a tantrum until he lends her the bull of heaven to kill Gilgamesh and destroy his palace. As a woman scorned, Ishtar is not only petulant and vengeful, she is a real monster, willing to sacrifice hundreds of people for the sake of her revenge. But Enkidu and Gilgamesh make short work of the gigantic bull. They are fearless. There is none of the hauntedness and wavering of the Humbaba episode. There isn't even a feeling of danger, in spite of the bull's first 2 warrior-demolishing snorts. The action is swift, the humor coarse, and the killing of the bull seems less a battle than a sport. In its grace of movement, it is like the roughly contemporaneous bull-leaping fresco in the Palace of Knossos on Crete, in which an athlete has leaped over the bull's horns and, arms gripping its sides, legs dangling above his head, is about to flip over its haunch onto the ground.